us to open up to you and to receive you and to live in your will. Come into our hearts, Lord. I speak that our hearts are open to receive your words, Lord, the words that you've told me this week. We want to hear what's on your heart, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thanks, Jeff. Anyone who had a picture or a word during worship? Would you like to come and share?
During worship, when we sang, "You're a good, good father," then I was like, that's cool, that's the relational part of God. We can relate to him as a father. But then, who is Jesus? Because I always just see Jesus, in a sense, as like a dictator, which is obviously very wrong. There's also a relational part to him. And then God just reminded me that Jesus is our friend. Like, and especially this week, I've been struggling with not having so much friends in the Netherlands. And then Jesus is like, I'm your friend. You're a righteous one. And God considered Abram a friend because of his righteousness. And God just said the same to me. So yeah, God just told me like that, yeah, Jesus is my friend. And we can truly relate to him like as that. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, that you came to earth and you made yourself so relevant and relatable for us, Father. And yeah, thank you, Jesus, that you are our friend, Father, Jesus. And yeah, we'd love to be your friend as well and just spend our daily lives with you and everything that it entails, not just quiet time, but if we go and have a coffee or if we're on the bus, like you travel with us everywhere. Yeah, thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks. Steph, anyone else? You will get a chance at the end of the service as well. So fasten your seatbelts. I'm Renee. I'm Renee. Just for the newcomers, I'm the wife of Derkjan, the pastor. And it's my turn to bring what God has got on his heart today. So it's a privilege. I start off with 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness. And righteousness means in holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why I start with this is God reminded me that scripture is really important to us and we can really learn a lot of scripture. And also the examples that we have in scripture of people, and we're going to look later on into Psalm 118. So don't despise scripture. Often when we do evangelism on the street, people will say, oh, but the Bible is so old, the Quran is newer, and I'll rather believe in the Quran. We know it's not true. We know that the Bible is still translated from the original. And it's not, you know, some translations are not so good, but it's still God's word. And it is still inspired by God. And what I want us to remember is that to live in conformity to God's will in thought, in purpose, and in action. So it's how we think, it's our purpose in life, and what we do. And as Steph said, it's and some of the songs also was like that, it's our whole thinking, our whole being. Now last week, Pastor Derkjan preached on the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, and of Matthew 13, and there's a few examples of what is the kingdom, and I'll just read one. The kingdom of heaven is like something precious buried in a field, which a man found and hid again. Then in his joy he goes back and sells all he has and buys that field. Do we feel about God's kingdom like that? Do we want to let go of everything in our life and just go and purchase that? Just go with full of joyment to the field and to get it. I grew up as a Christian in a religious church, and I didn't have that, wow, this is it feeling ever. And then when I was 42 and I was healed of my gluten allergy, I realized, but God is alive. He is true. And I really wanted to live 100% in His will. And I turned. It's like that repentance thing. You turn 180 degrees. I wanted to sell my stuff. Yes, I couldn't. But I wanted to go in a different route. My thinking, my thoughts, my actions changed. And yes, I did. It cost me something. It cost me a few friends. It even cost me my old church because they couldn't understand. And it cost me my family, some of my family. But I gained new friends. And I gained godly family now. And I gained faith and trust and joy and peace. And I think that's what God wants us to have. That supernatural wonder that He has for us, the kingdom of heaven. He wants us to have it on earth. But do we really want this treasure? Do we really want to let go of all our stuff? The other one that Derkan also shared with us last week is, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is a dealer in search of fine and precious pearls, who on finding a single pearl of each of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Yeah, that must be really a wonderful thing to do if you let go of everything. When we came here, most of you know the story, we had to leave all our furniture and stuff at in South Africa. And I said, Lord, but we collected it now over 30 years, more than 30 years, and now you want me to leave this? I don't think it's funny. But but what He gave us was so much more. He said, Renee, this will be part of your testimony. And what a testimony, what He gave us here and what we have now. Yes, it's secondhand furniture, but it's beautiful. It all fits together, and it's those who have been at my place. But, yeah, do we trust God with His kingdom in our hearts? Do we really want to let go? It's not easy. It's tough because we want to be secure, and we put our security in different stuff. There's a picture of a treasure chest. I thought it's a cool one. And I think there's some pearls there, yeah, many, and a crown and some gold. And yeah, I thought when that guy said he wants that field where the treasure is, it doesn't say what is the treasure. What is your treasure? What is special to you? What do you treasure in life? Is it your work? Is it your money? Is it your car? Is it your wife or your husband? Is it your kids? Or is it your family? You can't live without them, perhaps. Or relationships? Are that very dear? Is that very dear to you? Or do you treasure foods and drinks or other idols? Can't you go without a movie a week? Can't you miss TV? What do you treasure? Once me and Derkan went to a few marriage enrichment courses. My tongue doesn't want to work well. And if it was not for that, I think we would have been stranded along the way. But God was so good. And we had to make a list of what is important to us. We can say, what is your treasure? A list of what's important to you. And then next to the list, we had to put time. How much time do we spend on those stuff? And I was shocked how much time I spent on the stuff that's not important to me. I didn't realize that. But if you make a list like that, it's scary. Of course, I put on top God, but the time I spent with God was barely nothing. So is He then really important to me? If my thoughts, my actions and my whole thinking is not really towards Him. So that was a huge shock. And then our middle son sent us this joke also on a family enrichment course. There was a guy who said, 85% of men do not know what kind of flower their wife love. I don't know if the married people knows that. And then this guy sat next to his wife and he leaned towards her. He said, I know you love self-raising flower. So I got the flower wrong. It was a biggie puyera. But in any case, what is our treasure? What is special to us? Sometimes I think we don't even know what is special for God. What is the treasures? What is God's kingdom for us? I think we all fall under that 85% of men that don't know the flower, but that we don't know really what God wants of us. We don't know really what is the kingdom of heaven. We do not really understand what it is. And I felt this week that this is what God wants to bring to us today, that we experience a little of what is his kingdom, what he has to give to us, and what must our focus be. The next picture is also of the parables that Jesus gave in Matthew. It's about the mustard seed as well as the leaven or the yeast. And I love those last two ones because they can grow. Yeah, the leaven make the bread rise, but the mustard seed must grow. And I sometimes feel that the kingdom of heaven in us must grow. It's not a stagnant thing. When the word says we will work out our salvation with fear and trembling, it's part of that. We will learn, we will get taught, we will find out. The word also says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. So if you got, think of your first present that you can remember that was really special to you. Perhaps it was a Barbie doll, perhaps it was a small little car or an ambulance or a Brandweer, or whatever, I don't know what is precious to you. Your first present that was really a treasure for you and you kept it away from your siblings and from your, when friends came, you hid it in the cupboard that they can't play with it because it was special to you. Is that thing still special to you? Yes, perhaps it has good memories, but you've outgrown it. No, you grow older. The same with the kingdom of God in our hearts. It can't stay this mustard seed. It has a potential, and we need to nurture it to make it grow. And I'll share just now how we're going to do that. Yes, I just wrote here, open up your hearts, enlarge your tent pens. Now, Isaiah says that, and stretch your capacity. God wants to fill us up. When God says in his word, knock, I will open. Search me, you will find me. That's promises that we can stand on, and it's true. It is like that. But if we don't search, if he is not really your treasure, then you will not really find him. Then your faith will also not grow, and the kingdom in you also not. Okay, so hold fast. Now we're going to go quickly to Psalm 118. I wish I could read the whole psalm to you. Please read it at home. It is so a blessing. When we sang just now, the first few words is, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And then it says, let Israel now say that his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. And then he says, let the house of Aaron sing that now. Okay, and let those now who reverently and worshipfully fear the Lord say that his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. I think it was choirs in different places. Okay, now you sing, and now you sing your little choir, and now we all together sing. So it was really to honor God for his mercy and loving kindness, and that it will endure forever. But what we read in Psalm 118 verse 10 is, where David cries out and he says, you know, Lord, all nations, they surrounded me, all the tribes surrounded me, compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will cut them off. Okay, here we get a tip how we do spiritual warfare now. In the name of the Lord, we will cut the enemy off. For for some interesting facts is David was surrounded. And I think Israel or Moses or whoever in the Old Testament were also sometimes surrounded. We know those stories. Some of us know the stories in the Bible. But today, if we look at Israel, I quickly Googled the map. And if you see Israel is that little blue part, it's not very humongous. And 16 countries forbid admission to Israel, Israeli passports. Then you think, why? They are all bigger than Israel. They don't like them. And then countries in light green that reject passports from Israel, the blue little part, and countries in dark green reject not only Israel passports, but also any passport which contain an Israeli stamp. So if you've passed through, you can also not go to those countries. Then I think it's not very friendly around Israel. No? So I think it's more or less perhaps the same as what David was calling out. Perhaps it was more close to him and they fought with swords. But still, they are encircled with not friendly people. And the next one is... can we read there? Oh, sorry, my printout is very small here. The blue is Israel. Dark green is visas where is not required. Light green is visas on arrival or electronic authorization. Gray is visas required. Can you see how many places is visa required if you're an Israeli? And black, you may not even enter. So I think that's pretty scary for Israel. If it was us, if the Dutch, if our Netherlands is also a small country, no? If our neighboring countries were hostile towards us like that, I don't feel so safe. I will also be a little scared and cry out to God, God, where are you? Come and rescue me. And then in this psalm, in verse 12, there's a reference to Deuteronomy. And I went and read there. I don't know if any one of you heard of the giants that lived. There's many references in the Bible, Deuteronomy 2:3. But in Genesis 6 also, we learned that the fallen angels came to visit the woman of the earth. They liked the woman of the earth and they had intercourse with them. And there, out of them came giants, Nephilim. We call them Nephilim. If you go and read that, you will see. And that was really big people. And David, if you read in Deuteronomy, you see that David also had to conquer King Och of Bashan. And then they said, and he was one of the giants, one of the tribes of the giants still lived. I have a little picture of a giant. And... I don't want to go too deep in it, but the evolution theory and Darwinism struggle to explain it. But it was this. If you search it, there's many of these examples all over the world, not in one place only. But the Bible says they call them different names. They call them Anakim, Rephaim, Emim, Zamzumim. That sounds cooler. Zamzumim. We're going to fight the Zamzumim. But when we read about Och, the king of Bashan, he was a remnant of the giants, and his bed was 3.9 meters by 1.83 meters. 3.96 meters was his length. So that's more or less double as our bed. So we could sleep six in the other. But in any case, if you have to fight a person like that, it is not easy. It is scary. And we all have giants in our life. Not physical, perhaps, like that, but sometimes, yes, it feels like that. But what are our giants? What surrounds us, like Israel is surrounded by not friendly countries? What surrounds us? Is it perhaps our politics? We're going to vote now, soon. What is the best party? Is there really a true party that votes for God? All God's, kingdom of God to be established in the Netherlands. Netherlands was a very Christian country. It was a We left it a little, but I think it will turn back. But what are our giants? What is your giant? What are you struggling with? What stands between you and the kingdom of God? What takes you away in time, in focus of the kingdom of God? Is it the economy? Is it that you had to work so hard? Is it perhaps difficult relationships? Is it sickness? I struggled a few weeks back intensely with, I think they call it menopause. But man, it felt as if my brain left my body. It was really horrible, and I thank God that my brain is coming back. But sickness will steal my joy. I struggle to sing a song when I am in pain. I am not like Paul or whoever could sing in the jail and were hit by sticks and had wounds and then still celebrate God. I struggle. I'm not good in that. What is another giant? Perhaps feeling unsafe, unloved. May we say that we are Christians. May we walk away. I feel we can still in the Netherlands. But there are places that you're not welcomed. Now, if you say, people think, man, it's better that you go now. Or I don't want to talk to you any longer. That can be intimidating. No? Is it feeling unloved? Relationships is always a challenge. No? Can it be the media? The media, what are you watching on TV? What are you listening to? What books are you reading? What songs do you sing when you drive? What songs do you sing in your house? Does it take you away from the kingdom? Can it be one of your giants? Idolatry, something that you really adore. You don't want to live without it. I didn't understand idolatry always very well. I thought it's a totem pole. And when you submit and you bow down to that totem pole, that is idolatry. But then one day God challenged me that me feeling good about myself or feeling bad about myself depends on what is people's opinion of me. He said to me, okay, so well, who is your God then? And I realized people, oh my God. So if they like me, I'm great and I'm happy. Ach, Renee, we had such an awesome time with you. Then I felt great. When they said, no, we cannot come, we have actually something else. They can't even know what they have instead. I feel not happy. But then God says, it's not about what people think of you. It's about what I think of you. So that was people were idols to me. Addictions, other sin. And I also say a lack of knowledge, because a lack of knowledge is really sometimes just crippling us to not understanding what is the kingdom of heaven, to not understand how to grasp it, to not understand how to get hold of it and have it. Okay, so we're just going to go back now to Psalm 118, verse 5. What does David say there? Out of my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and he set me free and in a large place. Do you call up to God when your giants come? Do you ask him to help me? Or do you just make a plan? Do you really trust God? Lord, I have this difficult interview. Lord, I do not understand this work. You must help me that my brain can conquer this so that I can do this presentation. So that I can do it well. So that I can be a blessing to my people for whom I work. Do we really call out? I think sometimes we don't. We just try to figure it out. Then David is so awesome. He always gives us some tips. In verse 8, he says, it is better to trust and take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Yes, man can help you. A good friend is really a treasure. But at the end, it's God. Né? So God can work through a friend. Like Caroline is now borrowing me some baby stuff. I'm long past babies. But our son is going to come and visit us with his little daughter. And so I don't call upon man, but God definitely use you to bless me with all your stuff that you still keep on the flearing or on the loft. Okay, then verse 9. It is better to trust and take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now, so we mustn't put our hope in earthly stuff. It is really God. But I know it is difficult because we are so used to just trusting ourselves. That's why God says it's difficult for a rich man. And I think that is why we in the Netherlands struggle, because actually we are rich. We have what we need, mostly. And if not, we make a plan. Yeah? And I think my mom and dad used to say, yes, but God gave me a brain so I can figure it out and I can do it. But it actually kept me away from God. It actually, I didn't hear from God what was his plan. Okay. We're nearly there. You're still focused. Psalm 180, verse 21. How does, what does David do? He says, I will confess, I will praise, and I will give you thanks, for you have heard and answered me, and you have become my salvation and deliverer. Has any one of us, can any one of us say that? Because this is a part that you can see that David had in himself of the kingdom of God. He understood that God rescued him. He was surrounded. People hated him. Even his own sons, the one son, Absalom, hated him. So, and then he called upon God's name. Have you ever had an experience like that? Perhaps we must pray that you have an experience like that. So that your faith can grow, so that the kingdom of God can grow, so that you learn to trust him. Our move here took me out of my comfort zone so totally, and I had to trust on God for so many things. Ach man, it was so scary because I was not used to it. But it is awesome when it happens, and no one can take it away from you. It's just to know that you know that you know my God is my Savior. He will come through for me. Okay, and then things that David said, he says in in verse 21, salvation and deliverer. And then he also says in 22, it's not there. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. We know many people reject Jesus. Yeah, it's not so cool to be a Christian in many places. When we evangelize on Thursday evenings in Utrecht, then, and I ask them, may I ask you a personal question? Then say, no, not now. And then say, what do you think about Jesus? No, I don't want to talk about Jesus. Many people reject Jesus, the cornerstone, the most valuable stone of the building. There's people that say, yes, it's in the corner, but there's also people that say it was an arch, and it's that middle piece that was the cornerstone. So if you don't put that middle piece of the arch in, it collapses a little. Unfortunately, the Freemasons took it as a symbol, so defiled it again. But in any case, that can be a cornerstone. Okay, and then verse 28. You're my God. I will confess and praise and give thanks to you. You're my God. I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, verse 29, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. Can we say that? Is God's mercy and loving kindness really doing it for us? We're going to ask him today. We're going to really trust God. I trust God for his presence, for his Holy Spirit presence, that we can experience him, and that we will go away here and just know something happened. We had an encounter with our Savior. I want to come back to 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, which we had in the beginning. This psalm is in the Bible. It's inspired by God. We can learn from this. It's an example. David's heart was full of God. The kingdom of God was in him. He overflew. Flow. No, he overflowed. Flew is like flying, eh? He overflowed. His thinking, his actions was all towards God. When they returned the ark to Israel, he was jumping for joy. He was singing. I think your little son would have enjoyed that. He would love to dance in front of that ark and just be mad about God. we struggle. We struggle to be that. Just to get it all together. We have giants. We have giants in our lives. Yours differ from mine. But for you personally, it is a giant. It's not an easy thing. You struggle with that. Okay? But God also gave us a treasure, a supernatural, beautiful treasure, and that is the kingdom of Him. If you've chosen to follow Jesus, you can withdraw. You can grow in that kingdom. It wants to be established in you. When we pray and we say, Lord, let your kingdom come in Utrecht. Let your kingdom come in the Netherlands. It means in people's hearts. Yeah? It's not something that like snow will fall and it's in your hearts. It's that people will understand who you are, that they will acknowledge you, that they will worship you, that they will love you, that their thinking and their actions will be according to your will, Lord. Okay, so that's the treasure. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, if you have never made that decision and also publicly declare, I didn't understand that that is also important. When you publicly declare in front of people that, yes, I choose Jesus as my personal Savior, I want relationship with Him, I want to have His kingdom in my life, I want it to be established, there's some power in it when you share it publicly. It is as if the demons just flee. They don't want to have to do with you anymore. Yeah, they come back, but they just go for a while. And then the growing part, I already shared a little about the growing part. We have giants, we have a treasure, and if we take this treasure, we need to grow. Your toy that you received when you were young and which was precious is still precious, but you don't play with it anymore. It's not so precious anymore to you. So we must grow. We cannot grow on your mom who prayed for you and now think that everything is cool. It's not like that. You need personal growth. You yourself. I cannot stand in your gap. I cannot do it for you. And I know those of us who are married and have children, you wish, you longed you could do it for your children. But you know, hello, you cannot. You can intercede for them. You can pray for them. But each one of us must have your own choice, your own decision to make Jesus your Savior and grow in this. You can pray for people to help and to grow in that. Okay, how are we going to grow? This is nearly the end. We bring our big and our small giants to Him. Okay? Verse 21. We confess and we repent if necessary. And then we give thanks for what He has done in our life. This morning, we could walk in the forest. And for me, it's a first to walk in snow. And to hear that, I don't know what's that sound, under your feet. It was beautiful. It was so enormous. I said, Lord, you are so special. In where I grew up, water is very precious. So when it rains, you just thank God for this rain. No. But this snow was so, so beautiful. And it lies with this light weight, so thick on a little piece of branch. And it stays there, it balances, and it's beautiful. And then I think, God, you're amazing. To bless us with that, and everyone who we met in the forest, they were so friendly. It's as if God just came with a blessing. Whoop, everyone, you need a blessing. Let's just enjoy and let's just see. But do we understand that that's from God? I said, Lord, can your spirit just come down like that? Just overflow us that everyone can see it, that we can enjoy it and that we can adore it. And then we can also say like David, you're my salvation. You're my rock. You're my friend, as Steph said. You're my redeemer. You're my shelter. You're the one that I can shout to and say, Lord, help. You're the one that I can sing praises to and say, Lord, I love you so much. You are so awesome. Thank you for what you've done. Sometimes in Utrecht, people say, I don't need God. I'm fine. And then I think, you know, if God doesn't sustain you, you will stop breathing right now. You will not have eyes to see. You will not hear. Your muscles will not work. And then you think you don't need God. Then I think it's a lack of knowledge. You just don't know. It's just arrogance, but it's actually a lack of knowledge. You don't understand who is God. And I want tonight or this afternoon for us to understand what is the kingdom? What is God? What is he really to us? Okay, then, sorry, I lost it a little earlier. We sing and we believe and we jump with joy who God is when we say thanks. Can you sing? Can you dance? Are you shy? Are you timid? Practice it at home. Just put the chairs and the glasses and the vases a little away. One day I was away and I came back and I said to Derek, and where is that vase? He said, yeah, he was praising God and then he hit it and then it broke in pieces. So just take care of that. But it was beautiful. Okay, the last thing that I want to say is sing. Let's make it a David evening, an encounter with God, a love towards God. Sing with David, like David. And we're going to ask God now that he will put that in our hearts, that we will grasp it, that we will understand it. And then the last thing was what I said, yeah, is put your money where your mouth is. And then I thought, your money is often your trust and your security. Put your trust and your security where your heart, where your treasure is. Where is your treasure? Is your treasure God? Is your treasure the kingdom of God? I'm going to conclude with this. We're going to have two worship songs on YouTube now. I ask of you, just stand, sing along with these words, stretch out your arms, because it's an outreach to God. It's a thing to say, yes, Lord, here I am. It's not, Lord, bless me. Fall on me. No, you must yearn for it. You must long for it. You must say, Lord, don't miss me. Pick me, pick me, pick me. Here I am. Lord, I want this. So I just hope that you can do this and just ask God to bring a revelation to you, to bring this into your heart that the Holy Spirit will impart in you. Because God says, if you knock, I will open the door. So forget about the people next to you. Don't even look to them. But as we sing, I trust God that people will get revelations and will get healed or will get a word or a picture. Come and share it. We're going to play those songs. And then whoever needs prayer, also afterwards, come to the front. And then when we're finished and you're tired after 2 hours, then we can drink some coffee. Okay, thanks, Steph.
In a time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation we believe. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only
prophesy it one more time. Send a rain.
To share something, you just want to stay in the presence a little of God, or you can play it softly, but you're more than welcome to then go for coffee. But I trust that God spoke to you, and don't, no, then you come to the front. who spoke? Did God speak? Yes, come. You will be the first, but not the last.
As I was watching the little boy just worshiping, and he didn't care what anyone was thinking, but he was just himself. And this week, God has actually been speaking to me about becoming like a child again before God, and just, yeah, kind of letting go of, sometimes we have so many adult things that we worry about, and we come before God with that, but sometimes we forget to be a child of God. So yeah, I just thought I'd share that. Anyone else?
You need more of God. But God is there. It's awesome. Thank you that you are here and that you were here. And you can stay a little in his presence. If you need prayer for anything, you're more than welcome to come to the front. And otherwise, you may have some coffee. We go out in that small door.